I'm Jason.
And I'm Luke.
We're the guys from That Film Stew, and this is our latest review, Monkey Man.
Directed and co-produced by Dev Patel, Monkey Man is the action thriller film which also stars Dev Patel. The movie is out now, but if you haven't watched Monkey Man yet and you want to, go watch it first before listening to our full review. We will be talking spoilers.
Before we get into it, make sure you subscribe and download this podcast on SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, wherever you can find us, and feel free to leave us a review.
And follow us on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as That Film Stew Podcast.
So, Luke, what is Monkey Man about?
Inspired by the legend of Hanuman, an icon embodying strength and courage, Kid, played by Patel, is an anonymous young man living in an underground fight club where, night after night, wears a gorilla mask and is beaten bloody by more popular fighters for cash. After years of suppressed rage, Kid discovers a way to infiltrate the enclave of the city's sinister elite. As his childhood trauma boils over, his mysterious scarred hands unleash an explosive campaign of retribution to settle the score with the men who took everything from him.
On the surface, you know, like the plot outline, we've seen the trailers for this, we got an idea of what this is about. The first thing that jumps to me is like, you know, like that old revenge type story, some badass action. That's what we're in store for. That's what I was prepared for. I mean, jumping straight into it, did we get it?
Yeah, we did. we get the action, but with this movie, which has been described as John Wick in Mumbai. That's how it's been described. And John Wick actually gets mentioned in the movie. I want to start here, right? People complain and say things like Hollywood is out of ideas. We're getting the same movie recycled. We're getting remakes. We're getting reboots. We're getting sequels. And people are screaming out for original movies. This is an original movie. I went to the cinema opening weekend, 3:15 in the afternoon on a Sunday. The reason I went at that time, the only screening per day was 3:15. I was one of four people in the cinema. Where are all these people that want to see something new and original? Anyway, rant over. It's just I'm looking around this like almost empty cinema. And it was just like a week or so ago, I watched Immaculate. I was the only person in that screening. During our review, I did point out that it was at 10:15 in the morning. Maybe not the best time to watch a horror movie on a Saturday. But regardless, Immaculate.
Just on that point.
Monkey Man, where's the audience?
Yeah. No, look, on that point that you're making, we won't dwell on it sort of thing, but it's like, look, the people that say and complain that there aren't any original movies being made or there's not enough, they're legitimately wrong. Like, if you count, you just do simple counting of the lists of movies made each year, there is an abundance of more original movies, not adaptions, not sequels, original ones. So they're just plain wrong. And the problem is that we get something like this. And look, even I said from the start, it's like, look, on the surface, this is familiar territory. It's an original film, but it's a familiar story of revenge. Crazy violence, a bit of, you know, even a bit of gung fu to an extent in this. Like, it gets getting pretty bonkers. But at the same time, there is still such an originality to what we're getting. The setting is something that we're not used to, especially in the Hollywood sphere. Like, there's a lot of stuff in here, cultural things. The legend, you know, you highlighted in the synopsis there, the legend that this is based on is something out of the, I guess, the Western realm. Like, we're not familiar with what this is. This is something new that we're getting exposed to. So it's like there are original films and there's one like this with familiar tropes and beats that we've seen before. But at the end of the day, yeah, you're right. It's an original film. And if you start looking at the numbers as well, like people aren't showing up for it, which is unfortunate. Because really I'll say it is. Now, like this is a fairly decent film. Dev Patel's directorial debut,
which is very impressive.
For a first effort, like there's a lot of positive things to say. He's got room for improvement, I'll say this here, which I think we'll get into a few things. But you know, like overall, like he's done a bang up job, and he's managed to craft a pretty interesting story with some, you know, some interesting characters, some quirky ones, and you know, there's some powerful stuff behind what's being said in this film. And at the end of the day, look, the action's pretty kick ass.
So, it is. Now, before we get into the Dev Patel of it all, because his name is across this whole movie, not just the star, the director. It was his story. He was one of three screenwriters. He produced it. This is very much his movie. But I just want to talk a little bit before we get into it. Jordan Peele. Now, you'd see from the opening, this was a Monkey Paw Productions movie. You know, Jordan Peele, one half of comedy act Key and Peele, although they're not currently working together, but that they had that for like a number of years, and I was a big fan of their comedy. Since then, we've had movies like Get Out, we've had Us, and Jordan Peele is somebody to watch. Now, what's notable about his involvement with this movie was going to Netflix. That was what the movie was initially made for, but Jordan Peele saw it. He wanted it to reach a wider audience, to get it on the big screen. He persuaded Universal Pictures to acquire the rights from Netflix for under $10 million. Right? That's how much they paid. Patel later stated that Peele took us from this thing that was brushed under the carpet to putting us on top of the mantelpiece. How nice is that? So this would have been another movie that people, in fact, you know what? More people would have seen it, to be fair, if it was on Netflix. But it's just something that people may or may not have watched at home. But this played very well on the big screen. But that's where it started its journey. First time director making a movie for Netflix. And it ended up being more than that. I've seen TV spots. I've seen trailers. I've chatted to people at work. Nobody's heard of it. Nobody's heard of Monkey Man. And you know what? It sounds like a Marvel film, but obviously it isn't. But it sounds like, oh yeah, Spider-Man, Ant-Man, Monkey Man. No, this is a very different thing.
Look, I mean, yeah, there is obviously that superhero kind of thing to the name, put man behind something. But you know what? When I was first watching, you know, the trailer for the first time, I said first too many times there, and I didn't know quite what this was. And I was like, oh, is this like, obviously I'm getting the, you know, there's an Indian setting to this. And I'm like, okay, cool. But I was like, are they doing like a Journey to the West kind of thing? You know, like sort of like Monkey, because obviously like the title, and I was thinking, you know, like Monkey or, you know, that old show from the, was it the 60s or something?
Monkey
it's
Magic.
Sort of like what?
Was it Monkey?
Yeah,
it,
like Monkey Magic. All the yeah. Monkey Magic, Monkey Kid, you know, to a
Monkey
further extent.
King.
You know, what?
Yep.
Yeah, Monkey King, even bloody like what Dragon Ball is based on and stuff like that. Because I was like, oh, like maybe we're finally getting like Hollywood versions of, you know, those kinds of stories. And I was like, oh no, this is something different. And there's a different mythical legend thing involved in all this. Either way, sorry, got sidetracked there with that. But I just thought it was interesting, you know, like it's like, is this a superhero film? I was like, is this a, you know, like an Asian culture thing? But no, it's obviously of the Indian variety. I don't know where I'm going with this, but
it does
get me back
does,
on track. Get me back
you know,
on track,
we're saying it's not based on a comic book, which obviously it isn't, but it does play like an origin story. Like this is his origin. And we're finding out, you know, what happened in his past, his present, and then what his future could potentially look like. But it does play like a classic hero's journey, origin, you know, all of those things. The Dev Patel, let's really get stuck in here. So we've all seen him over the years, like he was in Slumdog Millionaire. Years prior, he was in the UK Skins show. And he's popped up in a variety of things, but we've not quite seen him like this before, doing action. And we mentioned, you know, John Wick already. It reminded me a little bit of John Wick with his movements, because the thing that I really like about the John Wick movies, well, I love them in general, to be honest, but the character of John Wick, the portrayal of Keanu Reeves, like, you can see that it's Keanu Reeves. And he really puts himself in the middle of the action. And there's a stiffness to how Keanu moves. But obviously, he can do the stunts, the choreography, all of that. But he's got such a way of moving, you can always tell that it's him. And you have that here with Dev Patel. Like, he is a lanky guy. But you see when he's got his shirt off, like, he's in shape, he's ripped. But because of how long he is, he moves in a particular way. And I think it just adds something else to the character. And just, you believe it because you can see that it really is the action. But similar to what Nolan did with Batman Begins, remember a lot of the fight scenes in that first Batman movie? There's a lot of quick edits. There's a lot of close-ups. When you're seeing violence in this movie, they really do show you the violence, you know, whether it's knives, gunshots, you know, whatever it may be. They show you the gore, the blood, you see it. But hand to hand, a lot of the time, it can be tight, it can be choppy. And what I found when I was doing prep for this, due to budget cuts, multiple shots were filmed with GoPros and iPhones. So it does have that guerrilla filmmaking feel to it.
I think I think that only adds to the almost like the charm, like the rawness of the violence. Like it creates a bit of a realism thing. I also read some other stuff, like speaking of like that guerrilla tactic kind of approach to it. Or it's like because of the budget restraints, you know, things like, you know, like a table will get destroyed or something, and then a team of guys would come in, put the table back because they need it for like another scene in a different location, but you know, they obviously want to, they don't want to waste money. So they're like, fix the table.
We'll fix it.
Just stuff like that.
And put
like,
it back.
And it's like, oh man, like that takes me back to just like restrained movie production where it's just like, no. Like we've got budget. We've got a finite amount of money. We've got to be careful what we're doing. Like you can't just CGI everything and just go for gold.
You just need to put that table back together in real time,
put back together.
So we can shoot it again. You know, Dev Patel, he began training in Taekwondo when he was 10 years old. That I didn't know. He earned a first Dan black belt in 2006 at the age of 16. So he had that going for him already, but it didn't stop this from happening. He suffered a number of injuries during the filming of this movie, including a broken hand, two broken toes, a torn shoulder, an eye infection. He really went through it in the making of this movie. And he's not just getting beaten up and bloody. He's a director. Like, he's a producer. It's so impressive that, I mean, again, it started being a Netflix movie. It's ended up being bigger than that, being on the big screen. But yeah, like, again, this is very much his movie. We're just hearing about all his injuries and other cast members talking about saying, oh yeah, no, he like, you know, he was injured and he was just like continuing with the scene. And, you know, the actors are saying that if this was a bigger production, it would have been shut down. You cannot like have a director with broken bones putting himself in harm's way. But again, guerrilla filmmaking, you know, they made it on the cheap.
Yeah. Just getting it done. Now, I think it was, I can't remember which one. There's been so many things happening in the world. Like, I don't know if it was the pandemic or if it was the strikes and all of that, but production moved from, they wanted to film in India, but they actually ended up filming in Indonesia. And maybe look, part of the, maybe the budget came into it as well. Like it might've been a cheaper option, but either way, like production wise, like what they're pulling off. Cause I knew that fact going into it. I was like, I read that the filming majority of it in Indonesia, watching this, and I'm like, I mean, I haven't been to India myself, but like from what I've seen of it, I'm like, I'm believing it. It's pulling off. Like, I don't see, and when I say Asia, you know, like the other side of Asia, not India Asia. I'm like, yeah, like I'm seeing India here. Like it's all coming together. There's,
and I'm the same. Actually, without actually yeah. going there, it looked authentic to me.
And look, if it can fool us, then you know, like they're all good. They're getting it done. Look, there's a whole. The cast is filled with. I'd say Indian actors and stuff. You know, whether they still live in India or whatever, if they identify as American now or whatnot. Either way, you can tell by like the names of the characters, the way they look. They clearly are a bunch of Indian folk. You know, in this production, and the majority of them are doing like some pretty bang up stuff. Like this isn't like one of those wacky, you know, crazy Bollywood movies that every now and then you see snippets of, you're just like, what is this? This is crazy. Like there is legitimate acting, like some good performances here, drama, tension, you know, like,
and it feels authentic. Like I was sucked in, like the, yeah. you know, the setting, the, you know, the performances, a lot of the actors, I think I'm seeing them for the first time. I mean, an actor does jump out at you. Charlton Copley as Tiger, you know, the guy that's running the fight ring.
Oh, yeah.
We all
yeah.
know him. We've seen him in heaps of things. He yeah. was in District 9. Oh, in fact, you know what? I did read that originally Patel wanted Neil Blomkamp to direct the movie, but he turned it down because he thought that Patel would be a much better fit. Oh, that was pretty interesting. And I think, you know, potentially right, because obviously he's really, you know, done a good job here. But yeah, characters like Rana Singh, you know, he's like one of the big bad. And this is the thing, right? What for me, the driving force about this whole movie is, you know, we've seen John Wick. You know, his wife dies. She left him with a dog. It's all he had left. Something happens to the dog. His car gets stolen. So it's, but it's all things. And, you know, to lose a wife, you know, it's horrendous. It really is. But it's, you know, the dog, the car, things. I'm not calling the dog a thing. Let's just use the car as an example. Somebody takes his car. It's a thing. But what happened to Kid in this movie is absolutely horrendous. What happened to his mum? And they don't show you off the bat. You've really got to wait for it. Maybe even like 90 minutes. It's like a 2-hour movie. You've got to wait, you know, 3/3 of the movie before you fully see the extent how
it's,
he burned
it's sort
his
of
hands.
Like it's slowly revealed to you. Like the movie sets you up with some mystery, some questions. Like you said, like the burns on his hands. And it's like he's, you know, he's obviously when he's lying to his, you know, new employer. You know, it's like, oh, I got this from, you know, bleach and cleaning and hardware. It's like, yeah, bullshit. You discover what happened there. You discover what happened to his mother. You discover essentially also the why is, you know, the guy who's set up as the main antagonist in this, why is he seen as such a piece of shit from Kid's point of view? And when you get that reveal, you're just like, yep. Like, I get where this guy's coming from.
It's all there.
You're kind of on board. Yeah,
but they drip feed you. You'll have flashbacks, and then it's like he's about to have a panic attack, or he's having like tremors, and he's clenching his fist, and he's having to remove himself. It's just they keep showing you snippets, and then when they fully see it, and his mum was very outspoken, you know, protecting him, her village, making an example of her, but then they finally show it, and then she's left for dead. The house is getting burned down. And he's trying to resuscitate or, you know, get to his mom. And that's how he burns his hands by putting them on his mom. It's like, oh, this is heart wrenching. So you get it. And then you flash forwards to, well, you're back in the present day. And oh man, there really is like so much going on. The back and forth really does help. There's a moment, right? Let's talk third act, right? Because there's a moment and I'm like, what the hell? Where it kind of like, for me, jump the shark a little bit, because we've got this, you know, this one man army revenge story. But, you know, we were talking, you know, a little bit about culture. I mean, this movie is exploring themes of societal challenges, including corruption, discrimination, poverty, and the experiences of the transgender community in India, which comes to play a big part. Because for me, this is when it jumps the shark. I didn't see this coming at all. When the transgender community suit up and murder a shitload of people. Did not see that coming. I really didn't. They get left a bag of money and they're the cavalry. They are the cavalry. And if not for them, he would have absolutely died. They would have killed him. But they come to his aid. And that was great. That was it. That was, you know, him finding an inner strength and just not letting the pain of what had happened to him rule him and embrace, you know, something better. And he goes to use that. But then, yeah, again, when they come to his aid, I'm like, what is happening? They were so brutal and just, again, killing so many people.
It gets pretty wacky. And look, with the violence side of this film, like, again, it sets up enough motivation that you're, you know, for the character that you're like, I get it. You want to root for him. But it's like, you look at what he's doing when he's pretty much infiltrating the hotel, especially like at the start of that third act, and he's killing like kitchen staff and stuff just to get to the, let's just call it the dining room, or the, you know, like the entertaining room or whatever. Like, a lot of those people are simply just workers at the hotel. I don't know. I was kind of like, oh, he's just killing people.
Do you know what it makes me think of? That scene from the first Clerks movie and Randall's talking about Empire. They're contractors.
Oh, yeah.
They're not stormtroopers. So he's like, you know, you're just killing innocent people. But I do think that, yeah, I mean, kitchen staff. They're just trying to earn a living.
Makes me think of the henchmen and Austin Powers. Like, they have a family. You know, like,
oh man. Is that Christian Slater in the first one with the steamroller? Amazing.
Yeah.
That's Christian Slater, isn't it? No.
Is that him or is he the sherbet guy?
Oh, he is the sherbet guy. Oh, it's been a while since I've seen him. Yeah. That's right. Somebody
anyway,
else.
We're getting sidetracked.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you're right. Like, I started it. Pretty wacky. I'll tell you what happens with, like, in this movie, right? Like, the pace is cutthroat. Like, the movie is nonstop from the start, you know, like, from you've got him in the ring just getting beaten in that monkey mask to, you know, pretty much like the little sleight of hand stuff, you know, like getting the, you know, getting the purse or whatever of the hotel manager, and, you know, the ragtag team of people like pretty much
that seemed too elaborate. Surely too many moving parts, too many people. I mean, it was a well-oiled machine. It did work, but it just, like, how many people need to be involved? A lot of people.
Yeah, but look,
it was cool though, and he gets it at the end.
It was, and the whole plot of infiltrating the hotel as a worker, and then, you know, like befriending that guy and getting a promotion, like all of this stuff. The, you know, like where you get the fisticuffs in the bathroom, and it's just like, man, it almost seems like, wait, he's got the upper hand, but then it's like, nope. And he basically, oh, when he tries to jump out the window and it's doesn't smash. It's like, wow, there we go.
That was pretty funny. Yeah.
All of that, like, I think that's probably the first half of the movie, or like a good 45 minutes to an hour of just like nonstop, like things are moving like a locomotion, man. It is intense and I'm all on board. And then the movie just comes to a halt. You know, like when he kind of goes off and he's, you know, like he's in hiding, and it's kind of like what the movie's doing there is trying to do like the, oh, this is where he, you know, he does a bit of training and he learns about something about himself to then, you know, like get to the next level, ascend to where he needs to be.
Well, that's exactly right. See, it's,
and that's what it is, but it's the pace just completely stops. It shifts gears, and I don't know. I didn't really get much of that. Like, I think them delivering that message of like, this is him learning something, it was kind of more said than actually really seen. I think it became just a very dry part of the movie for me, where I was like, oh, I'm kind of just, I started to zone out because I was like, ah, it dipped.
I wasn't zoning out, but I get what you're saying completely. I mean, it was competent to a point, wasn't he? But something was, it was getting in his own way, because with what had happened to him, and again, like, it was horrific what had happened. He could have done better than he was doing in the ring, but that's just the game that he was playing. Like, he was fighting for money, he was losing. That was his whole thing.
He was getting paid to be beaten and lose. Sort
of, and thing. He could, you know, you're talking about the fight scene in the bathroom, like, he could fight well enough. But then you needed to have that moment where he was broken down and he needed to come back. So yes, there is a bit of a lull there, but when he trains and he's ready to take down the big bads again, I did think it was pretty cool how he's once again got the monkey mask as a disguise, but this time he washes it, and it's only for a short time, but it's a pretty cool shot where he's walking down the alleyway and he's got the black suit on and he's got the white monkey mask. It really did remind me of the Marvel animated series Hitmonkey. I'm not sure if you've seen.
Oh yeah,
you've
seen that sort of design. Well, I know the look. Do you know what? I enjoy that look, and I almost wish that he, at least for the majority of that third act, if he had the mask on,
but it's
think
not
of
practical.
That whole scene where he's taken those very innocent people out in the kitchen. If he had the monkey mask on and had his suit, it just would have looked cool, man. Like, I don't know. Look, I'm obviously very pumped for the new Planet of the Apes movie, but look, that would have been sick. That
visually, it's a cool visual. But even like when he's wearing it in the ring, like he's not fighting to win. He's going to have pretty bad vision wearing that mask.
That's a good point. Yeah, but I guess it works when you're just getting beaten. So it was kind of strange when later he was like, obviously was just like, no, like I'm just going to win these fights, and he was wearing the mask, and I'm like, I was thinking, how's the vision? How's the vision?
Maybe you can see out of it then. Maybe you can see. But anyway, cool visual. Cool visual when he's walking down that alleyway. Oh,
one sort of gripe I have with the movie. Like, and again, I'm saying like I enjoyed this movie. It's pretty great. It's pretty great. The motivation of the character, I'm all for it. I kind of wish, and I get they're trying to. With bringing in a lot of the cultural stuff and they want to sort of paint a bigger picture, I do feel like this would have been a better film story-wise and character-wise if it just remained an intimate story of revenge from kids' point of view rather than... Because what the movie does is it kind of goes into a political kind of sphere. It's going after, like there's people in power and it's sort of more than... It's more than just him getting revenge on, his life being destroyed, his family, what happened to his mum, his village, and all that kind of stuff. It turns more into he's got to do this to also save the people.
I know, but he's still going for the revenge. And Rana Singh, he doesn't stop. Like, he was the one that physically put a hand on his mum and killed her, but... he was following orders. So he's going to the top. You've got Queenie Kapoor. And then you're going all the way up. You've got Baba Shitka or Shakti. Shakti? That guy. So he's working, all the way up. This movie does have that trope, though, which you often see. You've got the hero, the henchman, the number one, whoever, and takes them out, no bother. I mean, the main guy, you got a bit of a tussle there, but ultimately the hero's going to win. And then you get to the evil businessman, like the head boss, and they stab you. It always happens. It always happens in these types of movies. Any type of action movie, you think surely that guy is not going to go up against the hero in a fight, but they always find a way to shoot them, stab them, whatever. It happens here. But ultimately, kid kills everyone. He gets all the way to the top. And
so I guess it is almost like it's two birds, one stone kind of thing. He's like, I've got my revenge thing, but look, at the same time, if I can help the people, great. Means to an end for both. I don't know. I just feel like it kind of just lost the intimacy of it where it was just like, oh no, this is a bigger thing. And it's like, ah, okay. But that's all right. I mean, I don't know. My issues. It's fine.
And you also don't really see how it ends. Like, you see that he kills everybody he wants to kill, but he's also pretty beaten up himself. He's on the top of the building. And that's it. That's the end of your movie. I don't think we're going to be getting
ambiguous.
Monkey Man 2. I think this is it. This is the movie. And, not every movie needs to be sequelized. It feels open.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, Maybe he lives, like, maybe he dies.
The abrupt ending is pretty ballsy as well, because it is, it kind of just has like a bit of a stamp, like this impactful, just like, oh, you know, when the credits start rolling, I think I audibly did that. I went, oh, like almost like, yeah, like what's next? But it's kind of okay that we don't know, like, because I think he accomplished what he needed to do.
And that's it. Yeah, he achieved.
That was the part of the story. That,
yeah.
Yeah. All right, look, well, I think we're there. If you were to rate Monkey Man out of 5.
Yeah, I think I'm going to come in quite high on this one. I'd seen TV spots. I'd seen that first trailer, but wasn't paying too much attention to it. So I went into this fairly fresh. Dev Patel, again, I've seen him in things, you know, over the years from when he was young up until now. So I was interested. I was very, very interested. And it just felt like a different type of action movie. And an action movie that works with Dev Patel as the star. Some action movies, you could just swap out the action star. Just put a different actor in there. And the movie could work the same or slightly different, but for the most part would just still work. This works because of him. It feels like such a personal movie. And not knowing where it was going and that open ending. Yeah, I'm going to come in at a 4 out of 5 on this. I think maybe I was sitting at maybe a 3.5, but now I'm going to come in at a 4. Again, watch it at the weekend. And anyone that will listen, I'm telling them about this movie. And that it is one to watch. It's an experience. And again, I'm not saying it's the best action movie ever, but it's a different type of movie, especially compared to a lot of action films we've had of late. So it's definitely one to watch. I had a good time with it. I mean, yes, it's really hard to watch at times with everything that he went through. But yeah, I think it's a solid movie. It's a 4 out of 5.
Yeah, you're right. Like, there are some intense stuff here, but at the same time, it's like, there is fun to be had with the action and the badassery. Like the action, it's brutal, it's raw, like it's pretty full on. As I said, like, the pace is frantic and you know, it just keeps going. There's a powerful story of revenge, and you know, we all have fun with that, don't we? But look, at the center, like, there's a big element of like cultural stuff thrown in there, which is, I think, is fantastic that we are getting things, you know, like this outside of the norm of, you know, what we seem to always usually get. And you know what, Dev Patel, like, I reckon he's doing a bang up job and he's pretty badass in this. And for a tall, skinny guy, I'm like, man, maybe if I worked out, I could, you know, look pretty badass like that. Not going to happen, but you know, gives me hope. But look, I'm with you. I'll give this a 4 out of 5 as well. Like, and again, I obviously had a few little, you know, things that I would have tweaked or changed, maybe major things, but at the end of it, it still worked. Pretty damn good film. So, yep. That's it for our review of Monkey Man. If you haven't already, check out our other shows, Rewind and Review and Sounds Like Comics. Each of those shows also have their own Facebook pages.
If you missed it, be sure to check out our recent reviews of Roadhouse and Immaculate. And stay tuned for our upcoming review of The Fall Guy.
You've been listening to Jason.
And you've been listening to Luke.
We're the guys from That Film Stew. See you soon.